they of the world, and the world heareth them. Speaking of those false teachers. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He's writing here about overcoming false teachers. The average Christian really doesn't know what a false teacher teaches. And they don't know how to test them, as the Bible says. And they really don't know what the truth is. And you know, even in John's day, he said that the spirit of Antichrist was there. And he said many false prophets are out here in the world. Man, I tell you what. You say, well, things are better today, Pastor Dan, than they were back then. You believe that? No. The Bible says, Paul said that as the church age wears on, he warned Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So things aren't getting any better. They're getting worse. And they'll continue to get worse until Jesus Christ returns and he raptures us out. Then it'll intensify even more in the tribulation until he comes back at the second coming. Now, in this text, I want to give you four principles on how to overcome false teachers. The first one is this one. I gave it to you last week. Say it with me. Believe not every spirit. Okay? You with me? Believe not every spirit. Verse 1, believe not every spirit. And then the second point I gave you was, test every spirit by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look at verse 1. Try the spirits. Test those spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Of course, the spirits that he's talking about here are the spirits of demons, the spirits of devils, that indwell these false teachers and these false apostles. And, you know, we as Christians are ambassadors for who? Jesus Christ. Does the devil have ambassadors? Oh, yeah. Jesus has his representatives. The devil has his representatives. And so John says, you better be careful because and test those spirits because just like we're ambassadors for Christ, Satan has his ambassadors that are sent out into the world and they transform themselves into angels of light. They make themselves look very appealing. So he said, you better test the spirits by the indwelling Holy Spirit, because greater is... Remember last week? I said that even a baby Christian has an advantage over these false teachers. And what is that advantage that a Christian has? Holy Spirit living in us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That spirit of Antichrist in the world, greater is He that is in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Amen, church? And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to be able to test what you hear on the radio, what you hear on TV, what you read on the internet, what you see at the Christian bookstore. You have a distinct advantage. Don't forget it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, let me give you the third principle tonight on overcoming false teachers. Number three is examine their beliefs concerning Jesus Christ. That's the third point. Okay? Believe not every spirit, test the spirit, and then examine their beliefs concerning Jesus Christ. Here in verses 2 and 3, the Apostle John is going to give us three good questions to ask when wondering if somebody is a true or false teacher. Okay, let's look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How? How do we know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So here's the first question. Number one, that false teacher, is he talking, or that teacher, is he talking about Jesus Christ? That's the first question. Is he talking about Jesus Christ? And then it says there, under there, does Jesus Christ saturate his preaching and teaching? Is his main business proclaiming him and his work? Is he magnifying and exalting Christ? And then it says, if he's not doing this, then he is not of God, period. If they're not talking about Jesus, if Jesus doesn't saturate their teaching and preaching, if their main business isn't proclaiming Christ, if they're not magnifying and they're not exalting and they're not lifting up Jesus, mark it down, they're not of God. They are not of God, period. They are not of God. Ask yourself this. Is the teacher that I'm listening to, or the church that I'm going to, are they constantly talking about the Holy Spirit to the point where it's more than Christ? Always talking about the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that. You need this and Holy Spirit does this, Holy Spirit does that. And oh, the Holy Spirit. And are they always talking about the Holy Spirit? Mark it down. If they're exalting the Holy Spirit and talking about Him more than Jesus, then they're deceived. Okay? They are deceived. That is not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bible and go to John 16. Go to the Gospel. Okay, we're in 1 John. But go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Let's see what the Bible says about this. John 16, and we're going to look at verse 13. Jesus said here in John 16, John 16, verse 12. Let's start there. John 16, verse 12. Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all," what? Truth. Now notice the next part. "For He shall not speak of" who?
Himself.
"But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He," the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "shall glorify" who?
Me,
Jesus. "For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So, when the Holy Spirit comes, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit exalts who? That's the ministry. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called God's Spirit. It's called the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, has come to live inside of us that we may exalt Jesus Christ, that we may lift Him up, that we may point people to Him, that we may magnify Him. And if a church ministry or a teacher is not magnifying Christ and pointing people to Christ, then that's not the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about. Okay? There may be a church and they're exalting Jehovah. Jehovah is God's covenant name with Israel. And their main business isn't proclaiming Christ. They're proclaiming Jehovah. We'll go to Acts, the next book. John. After the book of John, you have Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, His last words before He ascended to heaven. Very last words. Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Okay, but what's going to happen when the Holy Ghost comes upon you? The Holy Ghost going to talk about Himself? No. And when the Holy Ghost comes on you, He said, you are going to be witnesses unto who? Me, Christ said. In Jerusalem, in Judea, and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, you know what? He said, look, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Holy Spirit's not going to talk about Himself. Holy Spirit's not going to talk about Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to come upon you, and then you are going to witness about Me. You are going to testify about Me. Brother Bill, you're going to Africa and you're going to the Mideast to testify about Jesus. Amen? You're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come, is so that we may exalt Christ. Some people are all wrapped up in Confucius and Muhammad. Well, that doesn't jive with the Bible. Okay, look at Acts chapter 4. Some people's main business is proclaiming Confucius or Muhammad. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. The apostles said this. And by the way, if you go on up here, we'll get the context. Look at verse 10. They said, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," by the name, notice, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, "whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." Now notice the next verse. "Neither is there salvation in," say it with me, "any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name of Confucius cannot save you. The name of Muhammad cannot save you. The name of Jesus is the name that will save you. Maybe there are people out there and false teachers that they talk about themselves. That happens a lot. They talk about Joseph Smith, you know, or they talk about their leader, whoever that leader is, you know, and they're always talking about him. You know what? I hope and pray that when you leave this church and you go out into this community, I hope and pray that you're not out there talking about Pastor Dan. I hope you're out there talking about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, is to exalt Jesus Christ. And this isn't Pastor Dan's church. Don't you tell people, I go to Pastor Dan's church. This is not my church. This is Jesus' church. He is the head of this church. And Jesus Christ is the head. All right? And we are simply His stewards. He is the head. And you know, we should not be out there talking about ourselves. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, He, speaking of Christ, He must increase, but I must decrease. I must decrease. There's a lot of people, false teachers, that they're always talking about their system of theology. And the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, when I came to you, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul came not to exalt a system of theology, but he came to exalt Jesus Christ. Some people are always talking about their visions, angels and visions and dreams. The Apostle Paul rebuked the church at Colossae for that in Colossians 2:18 and 19. He said, you are not holding the head, Jesus Christ. You are complete in Christ. You don't need to be talking about visions and dreams. You are complete in Christ, and you need to just hold on to the head, Jesus Christ, and exalt Him. Some people out there, false teachers, maybe they're consumed and always talking about signs and wonders. You know, come out this night and see the signs and wonders, and you know, and always talking about signs and wonders and signs and wonders. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas, which was Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, is what that sign was. And he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And the only sign they're going to get is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the only sign we need today. Amen. Is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We are complete in Him. It was a sufficient and complete work. And we don't need anything else. That's been revealed to us through the Apostle Paul, that we are complete in Him. A false teacher is always going to get off track. That's my point. A false teacher is always going to get off track, and they're always going to end up getting away from preaching Christ. A false teacher is going to chase their tangent. They're going to chase their hobby horse. They're going to chase after their pet doctrine. And you better beware, and you better ask yourself, are they constantly and are they consistently talking about Jesus Christ? You know, if time would permit us tonight, I could walk you through and I could show you Peter's message on the day of Pentecost and how it was just exalting Jesus Christ. I could take you to the apostles and how the apostles went out after the resurrection and they just exalted and preached Jesus Christ. I could take you to Stephen, you know, the martyr, and how he exalted Christ even as he was stoned and killed to death. I could take you to Philip, the evangelist, and how Philip went out evangelizing, and he went and he preached Jesus Christ. I could take you to the Apostle Paul, and I could show you Paul and Peter, and how they went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first question to ask is this: are they talking about Jesus Christ? And then number two, question number two is this: what is he saying about Jesus Christ? What is that teacher saying about Jesus Christ? Listen, church, if they're talking about Jesus, the second question is, what are they saying about Jesus? That's the second question, right? Well, okay, the first one's okay. Man, I hear them talk about Jesus a lot. But then the second question is, what are they saying about Jesus? What's the content of their message? Listen, many times, church, many times a false prophet will say a great deal of good things. Many times a false prophet will say a lot of things that are true. But do not let that fool you. Listen, a broken watch is right two times a day. Right? A broken watch is right twice a day. So just because a false teacher may be saying some good things, just because some guy's standing up with a Bible and he's saying some stuff that really, you know, turns your crank, listen, you need to really be careful. Because a false teacher may say a lot of things that are good and true. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can buy everything they say. The key is, you know, what is their message? What are they saying about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, what are they saying about Him? You'll find a false teacher is always off base somewhere when it comes to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You know, I think back, and I don't even know. This is totally spontaneous. I should have talked to you before I mentioned it. But Kathy, you remember back when we used to do the Way Down workshop? Remember that? And that lady seemed so great. I mean, she seemed right on target. She talked about Jesus. But then it ended up coming out that she was off on the doctrine of the Trinity. Yeah. She was off on the doctrine of the Trinity, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are God. You know, but she sounded so good. And then finally, you know, that false teaching started coming out. You've got to be so careful. In your handout, it says here, John says that, I'm talking about the Apostle John here. John says, if someone does not teach that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then he is not of God. John is referring to the fact that Jesus Christ was God manifested in a body of flesh. That's what he's talking about. When he talks about that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The fact that he was God in the flesh. Let's see, I've got it actually in your handout. Look at John 1:1 in your handout. This same writer, John, in the Gospel of John, he starts right out by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Well, let's look at the next verse there, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word?
Jesus.
He was God. And then the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. Look at the next verse there, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then look at this awesome next phrase. Say the bold part with me. God was manifest in the flesh. Isn't that neat? God was manifest in the flesh. And this, of course, it's speaking of Christ. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Folks, it all begins in Bethlehem. You know, I mean, we're gearing up for walk through Bethlehem, right? It's coming up, man. You know what? It all starts in Bethlehem. If Christ was not who He said He was, then everything else is meaningless. You see, Matthew says that His name was Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And if that's not true, then you have no gospel. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, according to Acts 20:28, it was God shedding His blood for our redemption. But most false teachers will deny this great mysterious truth. As the Bible says there, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, false teachers, they speak of Jesus as a remarkable youth, a superior child, a religious genius, a good man, a great prophet, a moral teacher. But they deny that He was God manifested in the flesh. You see, the question is this. What are they teaching about Christ? What does that teacher teach about the virgin birth? Do they believe that He was born of a virgin? What do they believe that He lived a sinless life? That He kept the law in totality? Do they believe that His blood was shed for our redemption? Do they believe that His death on the cross is sufficient to save? Do they believe that He rose from the dead bodily and physically? Do they believe that He ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven? Do they believe that Christ was exalted at the right hand of the Father and given a name which is above every name? Yes. Do they believe? What do they believe about these things? You see, that's the second question. First question is, are they even talking about Christ? And a lot of false teachers aren't even doing that. Oh, they'll mention Him, but their main business isn't talking about Christ. It's talking about their book, or it's talking about their manual, or it's talking about their leader, or it's talking about, you know, some other name. You know, so the first question is, are they even talking about Christ? Does He saturate their teaching? But you know what? Even if He does, the second question is, what are they saying about Christ? What do they believe about Jesus Christ? But then, number three, look at the third thing. I want you to go back to 1 John, if you would, chapter 4. Okay, I should have read a verse there under point question number 2. It says there in verse 2, 1 John 4, 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now look at the next thing. It says, "In every spirit," verse 3, "every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of what? Antichrist." You know, it's interesting here. I'll give you number 3. You can write this in. Question number 3 is, he substituting other things in place of Christ? The spirit of Antichrist. Hey, let me give you this. When you look up the word Antichrist, it can either mean against Antichrist, against Christ, or it can also, anti, that prefix can also mean instead of. A little more slick, isn't it? You see, a false teacher usually isn't going to come out against Christ. But Antichrist also means instead of Christ. You know what that's saying? Are you with me, church? Come on, you with me? Y'all awake? Do we need to get up and run in place? Huh? Instead of, you know what that means? It means that they substitute other things in place of Christ. Anti, instead of Christ. For instance, what's the only thing that can wash away our sins? The blood of Jesus. What's the only thing that can, we sung it Sunday, what's the only thing that can give us peace with God? The blood of Jesus. But a false teacher will substitute other things in place of Christ's blood. They'll teach that baptism has a part in washing away your sins. Or they'll teach that keeping church ordinances have a part in washing away your sins. Or they'll teach that keeping sacraments or keeping traditions in the church can bring you forgiveness and can wash away your sins and can have a part in atoning for your sins. And they substitute other things in place of Christ. They substitute other things in place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They substitute other things in place of the completed, sufficient work of Christ, His death and burial and resurrection. They put things in its place. I'll give you a personal illustration of this in my own family. My mother was raised in a church that was clearly they are false teachers. You know, they're one of these churches, they believe they're the only ones going to heaven. They believe my grandmother told my mom when she found out she was going to another church, she said, "You have already sealed your doom." Do you know what that did to my mom? And she did that when my mom was a young lady. And I mean, it just devastated my mom. She said, "You have sealed your doom. You're going to hell because you've gone to another church. You blasphemed the Holy Spirit by going to another church." And my mom was raised up in this just oppressive thing. And my mom had a religious experience at church when she was 12 years old. And so for years, she looked back to that experience as her salvation. But yet, the whole time I grew up, my mom was very much in turmoil over religious things and spiritual things. She was very much in turmoil over her salvation. She was very much doubtful of her salvation. And the things that her mother said just rung in her head, and it just really bothered her, and she never had any peace at all. And I remember one day, I was talking to my mom many years ago. I was a older teenager. I was probably about ready to go to college, maybe 17 years old, 18. And she was crying one day and just so distraught. And I said, "Mom," I said, "take me back in time. I said, tell me, what happened when you got saved? What happened when you got saved? What happened that time when you say that you look to as your salvation?" And so she begins to tell me the experience she had. There was nothing about Christ. There was nothing about Him shedding His blood. There was nothing about His death on the cross. She never mentioned accepting and receiving Him, turning to Him in repentance. She never mentioned any of that. She mentioned all about this experience and people coming around her and people praying around her and the experience she had. And she got all done. And I said, "Mom," I said, "do you realize you never said anything about Christ? You never said anything about the cross? You never said anything about the resurrection? You never said anything about accepting Christ?" I said, "Mom, do you realize that?" I said, "Mom, you're not saved." And she just like was stunned. She's like, "My goodness." She said, "Danny, you're right." And it was not long after that when my mom was able to really get... She started going to my brother's church. They moved. She started going to my brother's church. Really got under good, sound Bible teaching and preaching. And she got her salvation settled. She accepted Christ as her Savior. She was baptized. She'd been baptized earlier, but she got baptized again because she truly was saved. She put her faith in Christ. And did you know that was probably... Man, that was probably... at least 10 years ago, probably more, probably 12 years ago. I've never heard my mom doubt her salvation one time since then. I have never seen her cry and doubt it ever again. I've never seen that turmoil. I've never even seen it. It's never even been brought up. And man, she has grown in the Lord. My wife can tell you, she has grown so much in the Lord since she got saved. But my point is this. Think about if my mom would have died. I believe with all my heart my precious mother would have been in hell because false teachers taught her to put her faith in an experience rather than in the completed work of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly the way false teachers work. Antichrist means instead of Christ. And anybody who's putting things in place of Jesus Christ is a false teacher. The devil is sly, and we must be careful. Because John says the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. Folks, it's in the world today. The spirit of Antichrist. Let me give you the last thing there in your handout. And that is, if we want to overcome false teachers, not only do we need to examine their beliefs concerning Jesus Christ, but number four, you must feed yourself on the truth of God's Word. Brother Larry, you and Steve Shrunk are teaching the discipleship class, and you're teaching them how to become self-feeding Christians. You see, many people do not desire the truth. They've been blinded by Satan. In fact, folks, the world, for the most part, is not interested in truth. And it's the same way in matters of faith. Look at verse 5 with me. John says, "They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He says, they're of the world, these false teachers. Therefore, the world heareth them. The world heareth them. These false teachers, with all their substitutes, they get a following. They draw a crowd. But you know, here the Word of God says that, look, God's not concerned with the crowd. He's concerned with the message. Is the Word of God being preached in truth? Is Christ being proclaimed in truth? Are souls coming to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with Him? God's children should desire to feed themselves on the truth of God's Word. If you say, Brother Dan, I've been saved 30 years and I've never had a desire to want to read my Bible, you need to examine your salvation. Okay? If you have, I'm not saying that you faithfully read it every day, okay? I have not read it faithfully every day since I've been saved. I wish I had, but I have not. Okay? But man, I'll tell you one thing, I have a desire, I want to read it. You know what? I want to learn. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys wouldn't be here on Wednesday night, you know? If, you know, so I know I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, I mean, we should have a desire for God's Word. If we don't, then we really need to examine, you know, if we've got true salvation. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know how you keep from getting entangled with false teachers? Just know the truth. You don't have to know everything of every false religion. You don't have to know what, you know, this false religion teaches and that false religion teaches and this one and that one. You don't have to study out all the false religions. The Bible says be simple concerning evil. You don't have to know all that, what they teach. All you need to know is the truth of God. And if you know the truth of God, you will be able to detect false teachers. I guarantee you. You know, a little baby learning how to eat is a fascinating thing, isn't it? And, you know, one of the things you have to teach little ones as they learn how to eat for themselves, you know what? You got to teach them how to examine their food so that, you know, that they can figure out what they're supposed to put in their mouth. Because if they don't learn how to examine what they're eating and what they're putting in their mouth, they can put something in their body that will be damaging and that will be detrimental to them. I mean, when babies are little, I mean, they don't know true food from false food. I mean, to them, you know, to them, the white dice from the Yahtzee game looks just as good as the chocolate cake to them. You know what I mean? It looks just as tasty to them. You know, to them that penny looks just as good as a grape. You know. And they'll put it in their mouth. They have to be taught how to put the right thing in their mouth. Well, guess what? So do we. Baby Christians, they have to know, they have to be very careful what they put into their spirit and what they feed their spirit and what they digest. And you can't be gullible. You can't just believe everything you hear. Let me give you that last statement there. If you feed yourself on the truth, then you will be able to discern error. He said there, it talks about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you know what the spirit of truth is, you'll be able to detect the spirit of error. Guaranteed. Okay? Overcoming false teachers. 1 John 4. I hope that was a blessing to you. Did y'all enjoy the series on overcoming false teachers? Amen. Hasn't this been great? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray and thank you.